It is true that Jesus is calling as we sung this beautiful hymn. Several thoughts were upon my mind earlier today on what I might present this morning. And I thought of the growing trend in our nation. And actually, as I was informed earlier this year, that the fastest growing denomination or group of people is those who do not believe in any organized church, specifically in their various types of worship. And I thought upon this, and also I thought upon the importance of Christ Church, variously referred to as the body or the bride of Christ. And so my mind was directed toward perhaps this trend of thinking today, that I might bring some thoughts that would show that Christ Church is very important in the lives of the children of men. And even we recall in the restoration of it, we can read in Daniel, it said, in the days of these kings, will the God of heaven set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed and it will not be left to other people. And so the church was restored. And to restore means it was like unto the church it was set up that Christ set up. If it was restored some other way, it wouldn't be a restoration. We know when we restore an old home, why, if it's really going to be authentic, we restore it like unto it was when it was first constructed. I would like to read some from 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, and this is found in verses 7 through 11. This will be a little different thinking for a moment, but the final verse will start on perhaps some of the things I would like to present. And we find the reason that Paul was speaking to this particular group of people was because there had come strife and envying and divisions among them. And they began thinking more along the line of a certain person. Some felt, well, we learned our gospel from Paul. Another thought, we learned ours from Apollos. But we have found here that really it wasn't who they heard it from. It's the one that God gave the increase that is so important. And so let's read from verse 7. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. That is what is important. Now here is what is important, though. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. And we find as time unfolds, and I find that as time unfolds in my own life, really, I'm the only one that can work out my own salvation. I would like to help work out others. And sometimes I feel rather frustrated. But in all of it, I can only do it for myself. I may proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. And even as we spoke of Laman and Lemuel not partaking of the fruit of the tree of life, when Lehi saw that marvelous vision, and I know it had to cause him anxiety, and no matter how much he desired for them to walk a certain course, he still could not force them to do it. It was their choice. And so it says here that we will receive according to our own labor. For we are laborers together with God, and that's something we shouldn't forget. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. And Paul said, I am a wise master builder. And he says, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But note this, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. And that's what is vital. Paul laid a foundation, another builds on it. But let every man take heed how he builds on this foundation. And now, to be more specific, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So there is the very complete, total foundation. That is a part. I'd like to turn to the book of Ephesians. This is found in the second chapter and in verses 18 through 22. And he was again speaking unto this group of people, first about the blood of Jesus Christ. He spoke about his having, in essence, atoned for mankind. And he goes on down here and said this. No, maybe I ought to read 17 too. And came and preached peace, and speaking of Christ, to you which are afar off and to them which are nigh. For through him, and that's through Christ, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. We all have that access. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. If you've entered in by the way, and Christ truly set an example of the way, and he proclaimed the way while he was here. And when he came to this land, he told his disciples even the words they should say when they baptized. And then he gave them the commandments that was vital in their individual lives, and that which they should teach unto the people. And here we find that they're no more strangers and foreigners. In other words, now they know what the gospel of Jesus Christ is about. They know what his church is about. And they're fellow citizens with the saints and others who have become a part of that body. And then one of the important parts here, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. And we know there's a lot of special emphasis made on the chief cornerstone in construction of various buildings. And Christ is the chief cornerstone. And it lists a foundation of apostles and prophets. So these two are important in his church. In whom all the building fitly framed together. In other words, I hope to bring out today various component parts of this building. Now in all this, I won't bring a new message, but I just felt in light of various things that are transpiring in the world of which we are a part, and it seems like man wants to turn after other courses and follow other ways than the path that Christ intended for us to walk. And so it says, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. And so see how that all works. If man really has hope of a habitation of God through the Spirit, if he really hopes to have his influence in our lives and also the Spirit, there is a way, and this is the way, the building fitly framed together, every part in its proper place. In Ephesians, the fourth chapter, we also have some further emphasis upon the church. In the fourth through the sixth verses, Paul said unto these same people, there is one body. That body is the church. And one Spirit. Even as you're called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, and that is Jesus Christ. One faith. There is one way and one baptism. There isn't a lot of different types of baptism. There is the baptism that Christ offered and set the example by having complied with it. One God and Father of all. And so to me, this is rather plain. It shows a Lord, and it shows the Spirit, and it shows one God and Father of all separate entities, who is above all. God the Father is above all, and through all, and in you all. And the reason he's in you all, just like I read over here, if you become a part of that body and comply with those commandments. In the 11th through the 16th verses, he gave a little further on this. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. These are another part of this body, see, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And when we stop there and think upon this, the perfecting of the saints, this is why that was given, for the work of the ministry. And just think, really, if the whole plan that Christ laid out of this building, fitly framed together, was in total, complete functioning, just help, just think how much better it would help the ministry to function. And this is what it's trying to say here, for the work of the ministry and to edify the body of Christ, which is the church, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So if we ever have any hopes of coming unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, we have to comply with what he set down here for us to follow. This whole building fitly framed together. And this next verse, how true it is in our world, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. And let me tell you, there is a lot of doctrines in this world today. And the sad part, there's many new doctrines coming into existence. It seemed like for a while, maybe even the various ones that didn't believe in the restoration, many churches, I think at one time, were more fundamental, if we want to use the term, than they are today. There's a lot of things that churches are accepting today that they once would not have accepted. And even some restoration churches are accepting things that they once would not have accepted. And what a sad thing that is. And so how true it is, there is every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men. And so we see the sleight, and I could even put the word cunning of men, because I believe that likewise enters into it. And it says here, and cunning craftiness, so it does go hand in hand, the sleight of men and cunning craftiness it is done, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. And what a sad thing that is. I've read various tracts, and certainly they are a change over what they once were. And this is various religious tracts put out, some by even groups of the Restoration. And they do deceive. But speaking the truth in love, this is the way it must be done, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. He is the chief cornerstone and the head, from whom the whole body, now notice this, fitly joined together. Now this is the body. And compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Then shortly I will turn to one, and he compares that unto our own body, and how every part is so important. And I have spoke along a part of this line in times past, but like I said, today I felt again to touch upon this very important thing in our lives, that we might realize what is expected of us. And as Paul once said, what is our reasonable responsibility, yours and mine? What is ours this day? And we know a part of it is to set a goodly example before all those about us. That is a very important part. But there are other very important parts as well. To walk in a godly manner. To walk in a kindly manner, in a just manner. And I could go on of various things that are expected of us. But every part of whatever we have today, you can take an automobile. If you take off the wheels, they don't drive too good down the road. We know that. The engine quits working, you're there. And so every part needs to function for us to be able to accomplish our task today. Even in machinery or tools or whatever it is, and especially power tools. If some part quits, it no longer functions. Every part has to function in a proper way for it to be an effective tool. And so it is with our church. If it's really going to be an effective unit, every part needs to be there functioning. I would like to turn to 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, and this is found in the first 7 verses. And stress again, the whole body fitly joined together. Now he spoke of a few of the other component parts of the church or the body. And fact is, I'm going to touch upon perhaps practically all of this particular 12th chapter before I am completed today. Because I think, again, it's important. And he is speaking to a people here who were one time carried away unto idols, as we're well aware of, the people of Corinth and Ephesus and Colossae and a lot of places served other gods. But they were converted into the gospel of Jesus Christ. So he's speaking unto them what is expected of them. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. And so he would not want them to be ignorant concerning these spiritual gifts. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. He says, you know that you were once that. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaketh by the Spirit of God, calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. And so really, if you want to know the completeness of Jesus Christ, it will have to be by the Holy Ghost. That's what he's trying to say here. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts. Every one of these are important in the body of Christ. And there are differences of administrations. They don't all function the same. They aren't even meant for the same purpose. But the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations. They operate in a different way. But it is the same God which worketh all in all. That same God who is Father of all, and we also have this Christ, who is one Lord. Before I read any further, I'd like to turn over to the book of Moroni in the 10th chapter. And this is found on page 775. And I would like to really read, starting with verse 8, and maybe down through 18 before I complete it. And again, similar thoughts come to one a number of years later. And these are written And again I exhort you, my brethren, that you deny not the gifts of God. And there are those today who would even deny the gifts of God and said that they really aren't intended for this day. They was meant for the day in which Christ was here. There are some even use that. And however, as has been brought out in some of the sermons recently in your own area, and I don't recall which speaker, it could have been the one that, as I was on my way to Phoenix. But anyway, that's unimportant. But there are more churches who are turning to some of the spiritual gifts. At least they're believing that they exist. And yet in all this, we've got to be very careful and cautious, because Christ told of a day wherein there would be false prophets, wherein there would be even miracles that were done that were false. There would be a day of deception, a great day of deception. So how cautious we must be. But anyway, it says, deny not the gifts of God, for they are many, and they come from the same God. And there are different ways that these gifts are administered, very closely harmonizing with what I just brought from the Bible. But it is the same God who worketh all in all. And they are given by the manifestation of the Spirit of God unto men to profit them. So all these things are given for the profit of mankind. And then it goes on and elaborates these various spiritual gifts, and I'm going to read them. They're worded a little bit differently than they are here in the Bible. It lists almost identically the same words, except in the case of beholding of angels and ministering spirits, it lists the discerning of spirits in the Bible as a spiritual gift. For to one is given by the Spirit of God that he may teach the word of wisdom. And so the word of wisdom is important in our lives. To some are given that they a gift of really teaching this word. And another that he may teach the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. We all need knowledge of the Gospels, but to some are given it even as a spiritual gift. And to another, exceeding great faith. And I believe it is by this exceeding great faith that some great and marvelous things were done in years that were past. I think it took a lot of faith for the brother of Jared to move a mountain. I think it took quite a bit of faith even to have the Red Sea parted. I think it took a lot of faith. And I could go on and on. There are a lot of men that the Book of Mormon especially speaks about that had very great faith. But again, we know that to every man is given a measure of faith. We all much use our faith, and even though I wouldn't even say everybody could ever have the gift, all have the gift of it, we can all have great faith at least. And the more we use it, the greater the faith will become. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. So to some are even given the gifts of healing. And we know, though, that where they're sick, and their elders here, they said to anoint them with oil, and the prayer of faith can raise the sick. And again to another, that he may work mighty miracles. So to some are even given that. And not to everyone. As we read here, we find out that not everyone is given the same one. But to every man is given the manifestation of the Spirit. It says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. And over toward the end in Corinthians, it says not everybody can work miracles. All aren't apostles. All aren't prophets. So it goes down through the various ones that it lists there, and I'll bring them out a bit later. And to another that he may prophesy concerning all things, to some are even given the gift of prophecy. To another the beholding of angels and ministering spirits. And we can remember one man who had angels minister unto him even daily, and that was Nephi. He was a man of great faith. And again to another, all kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of languages and divers kinds of tongues. And so all these things are placed within the church that it might function more effectively and fully. And there is one here that I don't even have copied down, but I do want to turn to it in Mark and read it. The last chapter of the book of Mark. The 16th chapter, and the 16th and maybe through the 18th verses. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Now these are the ones that I want to specifically touch upon. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And then it says here, they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And so Christ intended that that would likewise be a part of the functioning of his church and of his ministry. And so, in verse 13 it says here, I would exhort you, my beloved brethren, that remember that every good gift cometh of Christ. So all these good gifts come from Christ. And I would exhort you, my beloved brethren, that you remember that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So really, if Christ set up a way once, then it don't need to be set up a different way by man later on. Because if man does, then we're leaning upon the arm of flesh and not upon Jesus Christ. And that all these gifts of which I have spoken, which are spiritual, and he said they shall never be done away as long as the earth shall stand. There's only one qualifying clause that they would be done away, only according to the unbelief of man. That is the only reason that they'd be done away. Wherefore, there must be faith. And now this changes a little different thought, but I thought to read it today. There must be faith. And if there must be faith, there must be hope. And if there must be hope, there must also be charity. And except ye have charity, ye can in no wise be saved in the kingdom of God. And so to me again, these are rather plain words of what is necessary for our salvation this day. Neither can you be saved in the kingdom of God if you have not faith. Neither can ye if ye have no hope. And if ye have no hope, you must needs be in despair. And perhaps that is a lot of the difficulty of man today, is because they kind of lack in hope. They do not realize fully what God really has for them, the wonderful things he has in store for those that are willing to keep his commandments. And despair cometh, why? Because of iniquity. And so it is. Iniquity is running rampant. It is one of the perils of our day. And Christ truly said unto our fathers, if ye have faith, ye can do all things. which is expedient unto me. And we can read the records, the beautiful records of the Scriptures, and see what transpired in times past and what was done that was expedient unto Christ and the hope it gave those people. And now I speak unto all the ends of the earth, even right now down to the year and century in which we live, that if the day cometh that the power and gifts of God shall be done away among you, it shall be because of unbelief. And so again, it plainly states there, if these are done away, it will be because of unbelief. And like I mentioned, we have listed the spiritual gifts in the Bible, which I won't turn to at this time, but I'll pick up with verse 11. But all these, and that is the spiritual gifts, worketh, and this is in 1 Corinthians 12, but all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. So he divides to every man severally as he wills. For as the body is one and hath many members, and now this is likening it unto our body, and so also the church, as far as that goes. And all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ, whether it's our body or the church. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Wherefore, or whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. And there isn't a lot of spirits there. It's one Spirit, one Lord, one God and Father of all. For the body is not one member, but many. And now he likens this unto our own body, something that you and I can relate to, and certainly I think the people of Ephesus could well relate it to as well. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I have no need of thee. Well, we know that in all this, that this would be a strange thing, see? Or it could say, I am not the body. Is it therefore not of the body? If the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And we know that in our own body here, we have our ears, we have our hearing, we have our sight, and every part is important for our body to function. And if it were all an eye or hearing, if it was all an eye, where would the hearing be? And so we need all these things, or where would the smelling? But I want you to notice, and I want to emphasize number 18, and we go back to the book of Genesis, first chapter, and God said, let us make man in our image. So in looking at ourselves in a mirror, and that's the way we each know how we look, we can see a part of our body, but it's pretty hard to see our face, you know, without the mirror. Somebody might tell us how we look, but we're told that we were made after the image, and God said, let us after their image. So we would suppose that they would look similarly to us. And of course, certainly they wouldn't have any defects. And sometimes we accumulate defects, sometimes we're born with them. But anyway, we're made after the image of God and Christ. But this one verse, but now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him. And he didn't come down to 1985 and ask man how he wanted to look. We know that. He didn't do it in the beginning, ask man how he wanted to look. He just made him after his image. And so really, I think that's really the best way to do it. And so he did it how it pleased him. And what a wonderful thing this is, that he didn't rely upon some man somewhere, because it wouldn't have been as effective. I'd just like to read one verse out of 2 Nephi, the 11th chapter, on page 151. And this is found in verse 145. Shows a little more about God. For behold, I am God, and I am a God of miracles. So this has been taught in many dispensations of times. And I will shew unto the world that I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. I already read that once in another place, did I not? And I work not among the children of men, save it be according to their faith. So this God of miracles works in your life, in your life, my life, and each one of our lives here, according to our faith. And so really, man has a terrific potential within him. But again, it has qualifications, and that is according to our faith. Going back to 1 Corinthians 12, 19, and again, this is going a little more extreme. If they were all one member, where were the body? If all you had was an eye, you'd be a strange-looking creature running around, that's for sure. But that isn't the way it is. But now are they many members, yet but one body. So we have all that we see here and how each one of us looks with all the different component parts. And every part is vital for our body to function effectively. And when one part is removed, it is impaired to that degree. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee, and goes on through all this. And look in verse 22. Nay, much more these members of the body, which seem to be more feeble, are necessary. So sometimes we really wonder, and we're told by certain doctors that there's a certain part of our body we really didn't need, see. But God in his wisdom put them there. So for some reason they were needed sometimes, even though they've been removed a lot of times. And there are certain parts of our body that are commonly removed by surgery that, yeah, you really didn't ever even need these to start with. But God put them there according to his will and purpose. So I think maybe they were needed. And even the parts that seem feeble, it says, are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. Some parts might not even look that good, see. For our comely parts have no need. The parts that look good don't have any need. But now look how God did it. But God had tempered the body together, having give more abundant honor to that part which lacked. And so see how he did it according to our own body. And the same thing in the church. Every part is important. That there should be no schism, or schism, I guess you should say, in the body, and that's division. But that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. And so it is in our body. We could feel well, but if something suddenly hits on our big toe, we think we hurt all over, and it's all that's hurting is a toe, you know. Your eye isn't really aching then, you know. But sometimes you can have a bad pain and have a worse pain hit, and all you're really feeling is a worse pain. Isn't that true? And so it is in the Church of Christ. When some of the people are hurting, we're hurting, aren't we? And when a lot of the people are hurting, a lot of us are hurting. And so it really is. If we're really a true part of the body of Christ now, and we're going to analyze this a bit, we should be concerned about the ills, the heartache of our fellow brother and sister. If one member suffers, we all suffer with him. I had cause to recently relate in another area, even in Phoenix. And we talked one evening around the table there. I guess it was Tuesday evening. And we related to this. And I related, and the one I was talking to happened to be my nephew, Dwayne. And throughout our lifetime, we have had a real nice, close relationship one to another, and I cherish that. But as I related to him, as I've traveled this fall in my missionary travels, I have run on to many difficult situations among people that I've learned to love just as much as I learned to love my dear kin, my own family. And I'm just as much concerned when they hurt as one of my own family hurts. And I think this is what this is really trying to tell us here. Because there's a lot of people, as I've traveled, that I really hurt for their hurt. And I'll tell you what, I can't believe what is troubling people today. There is absolutely no end to it. And it seems like almost every day unfolds more of a similar thing or a greater thing. And so how important it is that we become very concerned for one another. We really need the strength of one another. Likewise, when one rejoices, we should rejoice with them. I heard one person write to me. I shouldn't say heard, I read it. That would be better language. But anyway, as I read this letter, a year ago she shared with me that she was an alcoholic, or rather earlier. And she went through Alcoholics Anonymous. And she wrote me about August and said, or September, it has been a year since I've had a drink. And so I wrote back, and she was rejoicing. And I said, I rejoice with you. And I did visit this particular person on this journey. Don't happen to be in a part of my field. But again, I did visit this person and her family. But anyway, in all this, we must rejoice as well as sorrow with those that sorrow, and rejoice with those that rejoice. And he says, now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God has set some in the church. And this is the way it pleased him. It said over here, he did all things the way it pleased him. First apostles, and secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. And going back to the first one there, and I guess I will read that over in Revelations, the 12th chapter, and just read one verse. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And we know in the restoration, as we have explained this through the years, that 12 stars would be the 12 apostles, and the sun would be the light of Jesus Christ, and the moon would be the lesser law, which has been fulfilled. And going back here again, that God has set some in the church, first apostles, and we notice in that crown there was 12 stars. There wasn't 15, or there wasn't some over the apostles. It wasn't that way. That crown had 12 stars in it, and that was it. And here Paul plainly states that God set some in the church first apostles. He didn't place anybody over them. And of course we know that Christ is over all. And I wouldn't want to even leave any other impression than that. We know he is the chief cornerstone. He is the head of all. We couldn't take away from that. But as far as how we function here, we're functioning under the foundation of apostles. And then secondarily prophets, and thirdly teachers, and then it lists the miracles and the gifts of healing and helps and governments and all manner of things like this. And then he asked the question, are all apostles? And the answer would be no. Are we all prophets? Are we all teachers? And we know the answer to the apostles would have to be that everybody can't be an apostle. It's a physical impossibility. Same way with all these others. Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts. And yet shew I unto you a more excellent way. So I really like this particular reading. And I thought it well that I might enlarge upon it somewhat today. And I have one other scripture here that I would like to read before I close. And this is found in the book of Nephi. On page 26, it's 1 Nephi, the third chapter, and starting with verse 26 and reading through verse 32. I, Nephi, was desirous also that I might see and hear and know of these things by the power of the Holy Ghost. And he's speaking about that marvelous vision that his father saw, which is the gift of God unto all those who diligently seek him. Now, this gift of God of the Holy Ghost can be the all who diligently seek him, as well as in times of old, as in the time that he should manifest himself unto the children of men. That's even before he walked the face of the earth, that power of the Holy Ghost could be given. For he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the way is prepared from the foundation of the world, if it so be that they repent and come unto him, for he that diligently seeketh shall find. And the mysteries of God shall be unfolded unto them, how? By the power of the Holy Ghost, again, as well in this time as in times of old. As well as in times of old, as in times to come. And we're in a part of that times to come. There's still some yet ahead. So that is the way it's done, plain as language can be. Wherefore, the course of the Lord is one eternal round. It was set up many years ago. The way was outlined for mankind for salvation. Plain as plain could be. And yet man forever is trying to figure out a different way, or a way that he thinks might be better. And really, the full complete way is with Jesus Christ, even as the hymn we sung, Jesus is calling. And in that calling, he wants you to follow him.
On reference to the Phoenix reunion, so that there will be known, there will be a letter forthcoming from the Council of Apostles there, and when that letter is received, I will give it to the people here so that you may know what they have decided there concerning this calling. Let us turn to page number 24 2:4. Let us stand. Tonight there will be preaching here at 7 by the other Marvin. Is there any other business that should be brought up this morning?
I'd like to add just a practice on Saturday is going to be at 10. Do we like anybody to come who would like to participate, whether you have an idea or not? We'll help provide ideas.
All right. When is this Christmas program to be?
Sunday before Christmas.
Will you bow your head with me? Our Father in heaven, as we come before you now, we thank you for the time that we have spent here and the words that we have heard. Help us to clean out those things and apply them to our lives as we should, Father, and let thy Spirit attend us and direct and guide us in all things. Be with us, Father, as we depart from here and go into the ways of the world and come back. Strengthen us against the adversary and bless us with thy discernment that we might know the spirits that are abroad, Father. Help us to have charity in our hearts one for another.